Now, basically, we can divide the games into different types. For example, sequential games, sequential moves, meaning you move first, and then some other person moves, and then some other person moves, all right? And that could also be simultaneous move, all the people move together, right? So when all the people move together, the result could be even worse for everyone, right? So that's very likely, okay? And then there's also zero-sum and non-zero-sum game, single-player and iterative-play game, perfect information and imperfect information game, and also cooperative and non-cooperative games, all right? Okay, so now, sequential game and sequential move and simultaneous move. All right, now, sequential move game, okay? So this one is characterized by extensive form of game, or we call it combinatorial games theory. So what is this? It's basically, for example, you play chess or play Go, right? You move first, all right? And then after that, your opponent moves. And then you move again, right? So basically, based on that, you can draw a game tree, right? So from starting point, you move, you do different choices, you go to different branches, right? And then for each of them, your opponent can move. And again, there are multiple branches, right? Okay, so basically, you can use a game tree to describe how the game will flow, right? Okay, so this is about the extensive form game. And then for normal form game, you assume people simultaneously move. But simultaneously move, it also is divided into two categories. One is one by one move, the other is at the same time move. So we already talked about that if you move at the same time, for example, you have two players, right? And then they have multiple strategies. Now they're doing like this. And then this person thinks, okay, given this person's choice, I do another thing, it's better, right? And then this person says, okay, given its opponent's current choice, I do another thing better. But when they both move to another thing, it could be even worse for both of them, right? That's very likely. So if you allow the so-called at the same time move, then the result could be even worse. So in that case, one by one could be better, but still, even if you do one by one, when there is no equilibrium, you still cannot achieve a good outcome, right? Okay, but for this simultaneous move game, usually we use the so-called payoff matrix to describe the game, all right? Not the tree, okay? Because for sequential game, you use a game tree or extensive form game, tree structure to describe. But here, we use a payoff matrix to describe. So we will use one example to illustrate this payoff matrix. So for example, this is the role player, player one, all right? And this is the column player, player two. And then role player has two strategies, A and B. Column player also have two strategies, A and B, but this A is different from this A. This B also different from this B, okay? These two strategies belong to player two. These two belong to player one, all right? Okay, so now I want to see player one, if it chooses strategy A, all right? And then if player two choose A, then player one will get P1. Player two will get P2. So you see that in the entry of every cell of the matrix, you have two components. One component, the first component is the game for player one. Second component is the game for player two. Okay? Well, so now, if you specify all these numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 numbers, you decide it, and then the game is decided. Okay? All right? Okay, now if it's a zero-sum game, then you don't need to even give 8 numbers. You just need to give 4 numbers. These 4 P1, you give it. And then you know this P2 would just be a negative of P1, right? Because it's zero-sum. So in zero-sum game, you only need 4 numbers, right? Okay, so we'll use a very famous prisoner's dilemma to explain this zero-sum game. But of course, this is not zero-sum. This is a normal game, okay? But not zero-sum game. So prisoner's dilemma is the following. Now, I'm sorry, it's too far away just now. So everyone has two choices. So basically, these are two prisoners. Everyone has two choices. Either blame the other person or keep a secret. Okay, so I do not blame him. All right? He's not guilty. Now, you see, in this game, if both of them keep secret, so, okay, I do not blame the other. This one also says, I do not blame the other. Then their sentence So sentence, they will be sentenced to 1 year's jail. Okay? 1 year's in prison. Okay? So this 1 year is actually very good. Why? Because you see all the other cells, they're either 10 years or 20 years, right? That's very long. So 1 month could be the best outcome for these two people. Now if both of them blame each other, say, oh, prison one, this one says he's guilty, okay? And this one also says he's guilty. And then both of them will be sentenced to 10 years in jail, all right, in prison. Now, if one of them do not blame the other person, and the other person blame this person, then the one who don't blame will be sentenced to 20 years. The other one will be released immediately. Okay? So this is a tricky point. If you keep a secret, but your partner does not keep a secret, say you are guilty, then you will be sentenced to 20 years, right? And then your partner just go. Alright, so now let's see whether we can achieve some equilibrium in this game. Now of course we know this 1-1 is the best outcome, right? 1-1 is the best outcome for both people altogether, because the total number of years is only 2, right? It's very good. But this one is not stable. Why? Because if you are at this status, then player 2 says, okay, I changed my strategy from don't blame to blame. And then I will be released right away, right? Okay? So then player 2 says, okay, I confess, okay, he's guilty, alright? And then he changed from 1 year to 0 year, right? He's about to leave. But then you suddenly realize, oh no, now if I don't blame my partner, I will be sentenced 20 years. That's not good. Then I will also change to blame. If I change to blame, my sentence reduces from 20 to what? To 10. Alright? Okay. So now if you are at this status, 10-10, nobody will move in anymore. 10-10 is very stable. Because no matter which one change the decision to no, don't blame, the sentence is increased to 20 years, right? So nobody will change. Now the equilibrium, the Nash equilibrium, becomes 10-10, the first one, right? But that's why it's called prisoner's dilemma, because if you go for the equilibrium, each of them will be sentenced to 10 years. But if you have a good coordination between them, they both keep secret, they will have this result, 1-1, right? Ah, okay. So that's a dilemma. The people do not know what to do, right? Whether I confess or blame the other person or I do not, right? So this is a dilemma. And actually, in this lecture, we'll see many more dilemmas. Let's see, right? Okay. So there are some other games. For example, there's a chickens game, all right? So in chickens game, or it's a non-zero-sum game, this is a non-zero-sum because you see this cell, negative 1,000, so you add up to negative 2,000, it's too small, right? It's a very small value. Okay, now the chickens game, we also call it hawk-dove game. So in this game, there's a very special nature. The nature is the people, the player, can choose to fight or do not fight. Do not fight means what? Means a dodge here. I do not fight you, okay? Now, for this game, you see if both of them fight, and then both of them will be hurt a lot, okay? So this could be imagined from the hawk, right? If two hawks fight each other, then a lot of feathers will drop from their wings, okay? So that's unavoidable. Now, if both of them dodge, they get zero. Both of them are zero, alright? Now, again, the interesting thing happens when one of them fights, the other one dodge. And then the one who fights gains a bit. And then the one who dodge loses a bit, okay? Why? Because it's about the ego, right? Okay? So, if I fight, you do not fight back with me, then somehow your ego is lost a bit, right? Okay, so basically it's about the self-perception. right? Okay, so in this game, what is the national program?
Choosing this,
zero probability with this, right? Okay? Is it good? Or which one do you think is best that can maximize your winning chance, winning probability? You don't need to tell me a correct answer, just tell me a guess. What's your guess?
Very important contribution of Nash. Right? Okay.
Now. Now these games are very friendly, right? Visualize, you have numbers, you know, well, who will win by adopting which strategy, right? Okay. Now we come to this type, single play vs iterative play. So that's the one you just raised, right? So if, right, there is some history, right, of the play, then can I do better? Well, of course, sometimes you can do better. Now, especially, for example, for the prisoner's dilemma, right, for this prisoner's dilemma, then if you know that in the future, you will face the same situation again. And then probably this time, if your partner says nothing, you also will say nothing, right? So, because if you say something, your partner goes to the jail for 20 years, then after 20 years, you face the same situation, then your partner will take revenge, right? Okay? So probably you can negotiate after one play, say, oh, maybe next time we choose another one at the same time, right? So that will be beneficial to both of us, right? Okay. Now, we come to the Bayesian game. Although the detailed example of Bayesian game, my TA will explain, I will start with a game with incomplete information. Okay. So, we first introduced the so-called multi-hole problem. I believe that some of you know this. So let me just explain the scenario and then see who have known, seen this problem. So what's this problem? The problem says it's kind of a TV show, and then there are three doors on the stage, and then there's one car behind one door, and then behind another two doors, there are very cheap things like goats. Okay, there's car and goats. Okay, one car, two goats. And then I ask you to choose one door. Alright? Now, you chose, and then I say, okay, now I will open some door, behind it is a goat. Then I'll ask you, would you like to change your decision?
Yes.
I see some no. I also see some yes. So for those who see yes, very likely you have seen the problem before. Alright? Okay, so basically, usually you will say, change it, doesn't change it. It seems no effect. Because anyway, it seems the chance is the same. But actually not, right? Okay, so let's see. No, well, just to put you on the same page. So let's calculate the probability of winning of change and then non-change. Okay. So let me so you have three doors. So this is a car. This is gold. Okay? Now, with one third chance, you are here, right? This is one third. Because you pick a gate with just one third chance that behind the gate is a car, right? Okay. And then you say, in this case, I will open one door here. I will open this door, okay? I tell you, this is a goat. Now if you change, you get a goat. Is that right? Okay, so with one third probability, you arrive at a goat, right? So this is a change, about change, right? If your decision is changed, then with one third probability, you get a goat. Because in this case, you change, you get a goat, right? Okay. Now, if at the very beginning, you chose the goat gate, right? Now this is how much chance is it? The chance is two-thirds, right? Two-thirds chance you are at a gate with a goat. Now because I will open another gate and show you it is a goat, right? This one probably I didn't make myself very clear in the beginning, but now I'll make it kind of clear. So I cannot open this gate because open this gate definitely will change, right? If it's not a car. So I open another gate who has a goat. Okay? I tell you, oh, this is a goat. Then say I change. Then get a car, right? Okay? So that means with two-thirds probability, you get a car. Alright? probability of your decision change, right? How about you do not change? You do not change, then it's very natural. It's 1/3 chance to get a car, and then 2/3 get a boat, right? So definitely this is better, right? This is better than you do not change. Alright? So this is the reflects some flavor of the Bayesian game. Alright? So Bayesian game, what is Bayesian metric program? So usually we assume that you are the so-called risk neutral player, which means you want to maximize your expected gain. Alright? Alright? Expected gain, remember. Okay. Now, so when, but of course you need to make the decision based on your understanding about other people, what other people would do, right? You need to estimate your opponent's strategy, alright? Or your opponent's information. Now, I would like to show you a very simple example about this hawk and dove game, okay? Always called chicken game, okay? So it's another variant, okay? Now, so let me see. Yeah, maybe I will first complete this, okay? So there's another game called new product game. In the new product game, the company A may not know the demand of this new product, or whether company B will sell products of the same type, okay? So he need to do some market survey to collect some information before company A can make a good decision, right? Good strategy. And then in the chicken game, similar. Now this dare just means fight. Chicken just means dodge. Okay? So you see, when both people attack each other, both get 0. Right? If both of them dodge, they get 6. Now if one person attack, the other person dodge, then the person who attack gets slightly more, right? And then when dodge gets less. So similar flavor as a hawk duck game or chicken game, right? Okay. All right. So this payoff matrix, it maps to the original version or the deterministic version of the game. And now let's look at a probabilistic version. The probabilistic version is the one. Now we no longer have a player one fixed and player two fixed. We say each player has some probability to be aggressive and has some probability to be feeble. Feeble means I do not want to fight the other person. Okay, even if I... Now, basically, what feeble means is that even if somebody, some other people attack me, it's okay for me to dodge, okay? I will not feel lost in my ego, okay? It's okay. I do not have so much self-esteem, alright? It's okay for me to dodge in case you attack. Alright? Okay, so in this case, you see, when both people are aggressive, then the payoff matrix is like this. Fight will lose, for sure, right? And then when this fight, this dodge, it also loses a lot because his self-esteem is hurt, alright? Why he can fight, I do not fight back, right? So you will feel hurt, right? Okay? But when, for example, player 1 is aggressive, player 2 is feeble. And then the feeble one, even if you take a dodge position and the first person attack, the loss is 0. Alright? It's okay for him, alright? And I'm not so care. I do not care so much about my ego, right? Okay, fine. Alright? Okay. So now you see, for different combination of types, the payoff matrix is different, right? And then how to compute the strategies? Well, in that case, for a player to compute the best response, he needs to know the probability distribution of his opponent. Alright? For example, I know maybe my partner, my opponent, 50% chance is aggressive, 50% chance feeble, right? So then I will compute, okay? With 50% chance, if I'm facing feeble one, what should I do, right? And then the other extreme, what should I do, alright? You calculate like this, we'll calculate like this. Okay, now I will omit these parts because these parts my TA will explain. Now I will just directly jump to how to estimate your opponent's type. Okay, because, well, you have no knowledge about that, right? How do you know your opponent is 50% lead or 50% at risk? Well, now we have nature coming into play. Right? What is nature doing? Nature tells you, alright, the joint probability distribution. What does it mean by that? Well, it tells you both people aggressive, the probability is 0.2. Okay? Both people feeble, probability is 0.3. First one aggressive, second one feeble, 0.3. First one feeble, second one aggressive, 0.2. Okay? So this is what nature tells you. This is a public knowledge. Okay? Both of you know. Okay. Now based on this, if you find out yourself is aggressive, right? So this is some realization, okay? Because just now we're talking about probability. Now you, of course, know what type you are, right? You know you are aggressive or feeble. And then if you find out you are aggressive, then you will have perfect knowledge about probability of your opponent to be aggressive or feeble. Why? Easy. You see, if you are aggressive, then I only look at these two entries, right? And then you see, oh, my opponent A is 0.2. And then you divide 0.2 by 0.5, which is, this is 0.5, right? So now you know, then the opponent being aggressive is only 0.4. And my opponent being feeble is 0.6. Any question about this? This is a conditional probability, right? Condition of your own type. You perfectly know what type your opponent is, right? Okay. Yep. So I'm doing an easy job. I just show you how to compute your estimation about your opponents, right? My TA will give you some example, also simple example about how to compute the best response, right? In terms of, in case of Bayesian game, all right? Okay, so next, cooperative game and non-cooperative game. Right. Now here, you see all the examples we talk about, no matter zero-sum or non-zero-sum, they are always fighting each other, right? I will choose this, better for me, and then you will change your decision after I make a decision. Right? So basically, you two are not on the same line, right? Now, for cooperative game, it's a different story. But people want to collaborate with each other, right? Now here there's a so-called gloves game. What is this? It's a very artificial game. It says, you have three people, one, two, three. And one and two are holding a left glove, okay? Left hand, left glove. And the player three holds a right glove, okay? Now, you know, glove, of course, glove, some gloves say you cannot differentiate whether it's left or right. Well, we do not look at those gloves. We look at those gloves which can really be differentiated, left and right. Okay, now, what is gloves? If you have a pair of gloves, like this, a pair of gloves, then the worth is one. You can earn $1. You can sell a glove to other people. You have $1 back. Okay? Now if you don't have a single glove, no money. Alright? Okay. So now what's the question? So the question is, if these three people come to play a game, alright? And then how much money you should pay each of them so that they are happy or they feel fair. Right. Now you see, in our setting, player 3 holds a right glove, right? But this is the only right glove. So player 3 is very important, right? So by intuition, you would expect what? Player 3 should get more money, right? Because his object is unique, right? Okay. Now, actually, many years ago, Shapley discovered, I should not say discovered, sharply design a protocol, computing how much money you should give to each person. That's very interesting, right? Okay, so the process is like follows. Okay, now I will show you on the show that on the next page. But here I will just tell you. Okay, for player one and two, they get $1/6, and for player three, it gets $2/3. All right? How is it calculated? So basically, the way to calculate it is the following. First of all, you know you give total $1 to all three people, right? This is what you know. The second, it says, okay, now I try all the possible arriving order of the three players. 1, 2, 3, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, all 6, right? In all the 6 sequences of arrival, I calculate a certain player's marginal contribution. What does it mean? What does it mean by marginal contribution? Marginal contribution means before I arrive, these old people, they already can generate a certain amount of value, right? After I arrive, how much more value I bring to the community. Okay? This is marginal value. Now you see, if your sequence is 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay? Now, 1 and 2, actually, they didn't generate any marginal value because when they arrive, there's no right glove. So their left glove is useless, right? Okay? So they could generate 0 marginal value. But 3 generate the marginal value of 1. Because whenever the right glove arrives, you have a pair, right? And you have one glove. Alright. Now, you can see, actually, for people like this, for people like one, only in one sequence it is valuable. Their sequence is 3, 1, 2. Right? Why? Because, well, in order for one to be useful, it must be the case that when he arrives, there is exactly one right glove, no left glove, right? So only case is one arrived after 3, it is valuable, right? If one arrived late, in the third position, then 2 and 3 already have a pair, so one is useless, right? If one arrived earlier, before 3, one is useless, right? Because 3 didn't arrive yet. So basically, only one sequence will give you the marginal value of 1 for player 1. And then because there are 6 sequences, so this is a marginal value one can give you in all the sequences, right? This is the aggregate value. Because one is only useful in one sequence. It's useless in other sequences. So the total value one can give is 1, the marginal value. So 1 divided by 6 sequences. So that's why player 1 will get $1/6. Alright? And then symmetrically, player 2 will get also $1/6. And then because the total amount of money you give to 3 players is 1. So 1 minus 1/6 minus 1/6. Is 2/3. Alright? So that's the amount of money player 3 can get. So you see, for this concept, it matches with our intuition that player 3 should get the most amount of money, right? Because its item is unique. But at the same time, it quantifies how much more player 3 should get. It should not get all the value, right? Player 3 cannot get $1 for sure, right? Because without 1 and 2, player 3 is nothing. As well, right? Okay. Now, of course, when we talk about cooperative games in the next week, the week after next, week 7, we'll talk about the detail about the structured value. Okay. Now, there's another interesting game called Stackelberg game, also called leader-follower game. So, this game is pretty interesting. Now the two players are not symmetric, they are no longer in the same position. One of them is more powerful, it's a so-called leader. The other one is follower. So leader will promise something. Leader says, okay, I'm going to adopt this strategy. Right? And then follower will choose what hitting. Okay. Now it seems similar as the usual normal form game, but the interesting thing is leader only make a promise at the very beginning. Although in the end, it really needs to choose that strategy, but the game philosophy changes a lot. Okay. So let's look at one example. Now this is a usual game, a usual normal form game. Alright? Now let's first look at the natural equivalent of this game. Maybe I should use this dot, okay? Because this one is closer to the center. Now, this one, if you are here, right? If you are here, then leader will be very happy because also row is leader, okay? Remember, row is leader. Row is leader. Column is follower. So when you're here, definitely row player will not change, but the column player will move to this place, right? Okay? Right? Because 1 is better than 0. So this says, okay, I'm going to move here. Now when you are here, will leader change again? Well, actually, leader will not change because you see, changing become 1, right? Leader change become 1. So basically, this one is a Nash equivalent, right? 2-1 is a Nash equivalent. Do you agree? Now, next, 1-0 is not stable because 1-0, role player can move to this role and become 2-1. 2 is better than 1, right? Okay, so this is not stable. How about 3-1? How about 3-1? So 3-1, again, role can move, right? They move to false. So basically, 2-1 is the only So now, let's analyze on the leader-follower scenario. Leader-follower, then leader says, okay, if I choose this role, what will follower do? What will follower do if I choose this role? Follower will definitely choose this one. And then leader says, okay, how about if I choose the second one? What will follow do? Choose this one, right? Okay? Then, you see, if leader chooses the first one, he knows that he can only get 2, right? Okay? If leader chooses the second one, leader knows I can get 3. Because follower is rational, remember? So he will definitely choose the second column, right? If I choose second row. So now for leader, then which row do you think he will pick? Second, right? He will pick the second. And then he can get 3 benefits. But remember, we said 3-1. Is it Nash equivalent? No. But in leader follow game, leader successfully secures 3 gain by committing to some strategy. Is that right? Okay, so that's the difference between Nash equivalent and this leader-follower game, because in leader-follower game, because leader is more powerful, right? He can gain more than what he can get in Nash equivalent. The only sacrifice he did is to commit to some strategy. So leader said, I will definitely choose the second role. So please make your decision. And then the follower trusts the leader, right? Okay? So this is why follower says, okay, then I safely choose this one. Because I'm sure you will not cheat me by choosing the first row, right? Okay? Alright, so you see, stack over game, it can give you, right? Or give the leader more space to gain profit, right? Okay, so any question here? Okay. Yeah. So next, we'll look at some examples and also paradoxes. Now, firstly, let's look at the so-called shortest path options. So, for this shortest path options, a buyer wants to buy a path from S to T, all right, in the graph. And if we want to let the buyer pay less amount of money to buy the parts. Now, of course, there are some analysis in the middle. Let me just show you the figure directly. So this figure, the number on edges, they are the cost of the edge. Okay? And these costs are reported by the edge themselves. Okay? So basically, every edge is possessed by one player on the network. Okay? Every player holds an edge. Alright? And they will tell the buyer how expensive my edge is. Right? So if they tell the truth, then the buyer is very happy because he can buy this part. Right? 0000000, all zero. So the buyer needs to pay nothing. Right? And then he bought a part from S&T, which is cheapest. Right? Okay. But you know, the edges, they are selfish. Meaning they would like to cheat about their cost to get more pay. For example, this zero, it says, okay, how about I cheat to be 0.5? And the buyer will still buy this because this is the cheapest one, right? And then I get $0.5. So then I will cheat. Okay? Alright. Now the buyer says, oh please, please, do not cheat. Because cheating will make me pay a lot, right? So the buyer would like to pay somebody such that it will not cheat. Then how much do you think that you should pay this edge zero? Yeah, one. You will pay one. Why? Because this edge can cheat to be 1 or 0.99999, right? This pass is still cheapest. Right? Because these two are 1, right? Okay? So every edge here, they can bargain for a payment of close to $1. Right? And then in order to buy this pass, the buyer needs to pay $10, right? Okay? Oh, that's not good, right? In order to let the people tell the truth, the buyer paid a lot of money to buy the actual zero-cost pass, right? Okay, that's not good. But in order to make people tell the truth, maybe this is the best buyer to do, right? But here, there's an interesting phenomenon. Actually, this is also somewhat a dilemma. So usually we know more competition, it should be better for the buyer, right? More competition, right? So many people want to do my project, and then I can choose the one who can, well, accept my lowest price, right? Okay? But now here it is trying to show you that less competition will make you pay less. Less competition means what? That means that, for example, the buyer says, okay, this person, I do not allow you to come. I just forbid you from joining this game. Okay? So that means less competition. Alright? Then you see, if I cut this edge, then nothing here. It's not possible because without this edge, the path above does not exist. Okay? So in this case, you know, oh, then the buyer only has two choices, one and one. And then he just can choose one of them, pay $1, and this one will not cheat, because if this one cheats, say I'm 1.1, then the buyer will choose this one. Right? So they have no bargaining power because they have equal capability. Okay? So this is, you see, the buyer can pay $1 to buy a pass, no longer $10. Now this is one kind of a minor paradox. Because you reduce the competition, you gain, right? You didn't lose, right? Okay. Now, for games, alright? So actually, you can classify them into different categories according to whether national curriculum exists or not. So there could be a game where national curriculum does not exist. You already see it, right? Rock, scissors, paper. There could also be a game where the national curriculum exists, but not every pass converges to national curriculum. What does it mean? Well, this is a status, right? this person moves, improve. And this person moves, improve. This person moves, improve. But maybe there will be some cycle, right? So after one round, you found that you come back to the original status, and then you move again, right? So there's a cycle in this best response move, and then, the national criminal cannot be reached by every pass, right? Cannot be reached by every pass. Now, the last one is most promising one. It says the national criminal exists, and every pass converges to a national criminal. Alright? So this game, you have a so-called potential function in it. Okay? Now, I think that I will complete this example and then take a break. Okay, so we'll take a break a bit later. Now, this example is called total distance game. What does it mean? It means that you have n players, they play on a graph with n vertices, and each player will choose a vertex. Okay? Now, what's the player's benefit or gain? The player's benefit is its total distance to all the other players. Alright? Basically, the farther away from other opponents, the happier I am. Alright? I want to be far from them. Okay. Now, this game, which category does it belong to? We have three categories, right? Which category does it belong to? Bonus question. This question is split into two parts. You can either guess first. The correct guess will also get a bonus. And then you need to reason about why that is the case. But remember, if there are two wrong guesses, the last one will not get a bonus. Okay? Because altogether we only have three categories. Okay? Alright, so yeah, any first guess? Which category does it belong to? Second. This one. Okay. It's not correct. Which one? Third. Okay, third is correct. Okay? Half bonus. Then why? Why third? Why natural criminal always exists and every path converges to natural criminal? Or you have a potential function. Now, what does it mean? It means that the potential function means what? It means that you have a function related to every status of the game. Alright? And then whenever somebody makes a move, this function value increases. Somebody makes a move, which means somebody makes a move means this player improves its benefit. Okay? And then the function raises, and etc. etc. Okay? So because you keep raising the function, there will be a limit. It will stop somehow. Because we only have limited status, number of states in the game. So when they stop, that's the natural criminal. Alright? So no matter which path you follow, the function always increases, right? So therefore every path will lead you to the natural criminal. Alright? So now the second half bonus, you need to design the potential function. The function, which is calculated based on where the players are in the graph. Now I guess I will give you 10 minutes break. Meanwhile, you find out, sir, come to me and you get the other half bonus. Okay? Yeah, 10 minutes break. Thank you. 掉这些两个选项，那正常来讲如果提前出一千那么能调出这个来。
There are still 3 minutes to the bonus deadline. So what you need to do is to find a potential function.
And this function will increase the value every time somebody moves to a better place for himself. Better means larger distance to other players, larger total distance to other players. that's the potential function. So why this function will increase every time it moves to a better place? Now remember, if I'm the player, I move, then other people's distance, they will not change, right? Other people's mutual distance, they do not change. If only I move, right? And then when I move, my distance towards the other players increases, right? Okay, that means my part of the distance, right? They increase. Because the function says all the mutual distance between players. Because my part increases, other part didn't change, so the overall function increases, right? So no matter which one moves, that person will cause the increase of the mutual distance summation of all the people, right? So that's why using this function, you can show it is a potential function, and therefore every path will converge to a natural equilibrium, right? Okay. Yeah. So take a small rest, and then we'll continue very soon. 1 minute. Now we come to the next paradox. So this is also a very famous paradox. So basically explains why in a city you have one more highway, it does not mean your traffic condition is better. Alright? So this paradox tells you why. Okay. Now, suppose, alright, on the left, you have two paths from S to T. Okay? You have many cars, one unit of cars, so they can be split in arbitrary small granularity. Okay? So on every edge there is a delay function. Okay? So delay function says if you travel on this road, if the total amount of traffic traveled is X, your delay is X. And then if you are on this road, the delay is always 1. Okay? And then reversed on the other path. Okay, so now in this original graph, without highway, there is one equilibrium. Because we have two paths, right? So every small people, they want to choose a faster path. So a balanced condition is that half the people choose the upper path, half choose the lower path. Because if it's half, then the delay on the upper path is 1.5. Delay on the lower path is also 1.5. No matter which group of people go to the other path, the delay is longer. Because originally it's half, now it becomes half, 0.51. Longer delay, right? Nobody will go to the other path in a stable condition. Okay? 1.5 delay up, 1.5 delay down. Now let's see. The government is very nice. They say, okay, let's open the highway. Here. The highway, because it's highway, so delay is 0. No delay. Okay, let's see. What will happen? I'll focus on this figure because this figure is closer to the center. Alright, this is a highway, so for people traveling this way, they think, okay, after I arrive here, I will not go to this path because this path delay is 1. I would rather go here because at the very beginning here the delay is only 0.5. Right? Okay, so more and more people choose this path until every upper group, they choose this path. And now, what's their delay? If every upper group choose this path, what's their delay? 0.5 plus what? What's here? One, very good. Okay? Because when all the people here choose this path, then the lower is still here, right? So on this edge, the total traffic is one. So the delay after all the people shift, it becomes 1.5 again. Which means this group of people, they didn't benefit, right? Originally they're 1.5, but because of this, they gradually also become 1.5. Although in the middle it's good, right? Less people move, it's good. Now, that's not the end. You see the lower part. The lower part now has a delay of 2, right? They're very unhappy. They say, well, why you come here, come down to take our path, right? No, not good. Now our delay is 2. So I will not do this anymore. I will do what? I will change from this part to this. Because now, there's only half people here. But this is 0, right? So if I change to this place, I can reduce my delay, right? So then the lower group also changed to this path. And then in the end, what's the delay for all the people? 2, very good. 1 here. Okay, it's 2. So that's the equilibrium, right? After adding the highway, your delay changes from the earlier 1.5 to the current 2. So the highway increases the delay. Right? That's not good. That's a paradox. Because usually, adding more resources, the congestion will be alleviated, right? So less congestion, but now more congestion, right? Okay. So now, I will briefly mention another related concept, another game called isolation game. So actually, isolation game is a broader class compared to the total distance game we talked about earlier. Alright, what's the isolation game? Isolation game says each player wants to stay away from other players. So it's very useful when you try to locate your shop. Because when you locate a shop, you would stay away from other shops such that you can have your own territory of customers, right? Because customers usually go to the closer shop if they are of the same quality, okay? And then it's also useful in product design, because when you design a product, you hope your product feature is not very similar to another product. If it's very unique, then you can sell at a good price, okay? If it's also useful at the same time. And then it has a similarity with the so-called Voronoi game, where Voronoi game means what? It means that it's just you have a 2D space, and then you have people in the space, and every person is a point, and this point will have a territory, and the territory include all the points which is closest to this point. Okay, so basically, when you have 2 points only, it's just a cut the plane to 2 half planes, right? This half plane goes to this point, that half plane goes to this point. Okay, whichever point is closer, hey, go to that point. So this is a Voronoi diagram. Okay. Now, isolation game says that if you have several points, like the red point, and then the players, the blue one, right? Okay. And then, suppose there is one person here in the middle, this red one, this yellow one, and then it has a distance towards other players. And then I sort the distances from the smallest value to the largest value. Alright? And then I apply a weight vector. Weight vector, W1, W2, WK, and then every person tries to minimize or maximize the utility. Okay? So utility is what? The distance multiplying the corresponding weight vector. So everyone tries to maximize this one. Okay? Now you have different kind of utility a weight vector. Okay, for example, there could be one single entry being one. Others are zero, which means I only care about one certain player. For example, my closest competitor, right? Which one is closest to me? I want this person to be as far as possible, okay? So there are many variants of this kind of game, including monotonically increasing, decreasing, or every weight is one. And this one corresponds to the total distance game we talked about earlier. Because you add up all the distance to other players, right? I want to be far away from all of them as a whole, right? Okay. And then here, I will omit the results because, well, there are many categories. And then there are some situations where the equilibrium does not exist. For example, in an asymmetric case, which means the red edge is length 3, the black edge is length 2, and then when you move, so for example when you're here, then the blue one will move here. A little misalignment, okay? So because originally he thinks the yellow one has a distance 2 towards him, okay? Because when he look at the red, look at the yellow one, he used the black arrow, okay? Because the black arrow is 2. So he thinks it's 2. Then over here, this then over here, I look at the red, the yellow one using the red arrow, and then that lens becomes 3. So the blue one will move, right? Okay, because everyone will be far away from the other one. So the blue one will move. And then the yellow one says, okay, now I look at you, your distance to me is only 2, because I'm looking at in the direction of the black one, and then I will move to this place, and then I can look at you using the red arrow, which is 3. And then the blue one will move again. Again, changing the distance from 2 to 3. So then this will go on forever, never stop. Okay, so in this case, there's no natural equilibrium. And then actually this instance can be extended to n players. Now I won't give the details. It's pretty straightforward. Okay? Yeah. So basically there are many interesting results. The most interesting one probably is this one. So when your weight vector is something I don't care and 1, and then it is a bit hard to decide whether some configuration is a Nash equilibrium. Alright? And then when the weight vector is 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, and then something I don't care, and then it is polynomial time solvable. Okay? So this is I think will be the most interesting classification of the difficulty of the problem. Okay? Well, so now let's come to a brief summary of the topic today. Okay? Now basically game theory, right? It originates from economics, and then later on computer scientists look at the problem from another angle, basically from the computability angle. Okay? Because economists, they usually say, as long as I know it exists, that's good enough. Okay? Something exists. For example, Nash equilibrium exists, all good enough. Alright? I know this market is very good. Okay? But then computer scientists, they focus more on what? Computation. Right? Whether it is easy to compute that equilibrium. If yes, oh that's good, right? Polynomial time computable, that's nice. But if it's a bit hard to compute, maybe not so ideal, right? Okay. So they made contributions to both modeling and also the computational perspectives. And actually, remember PPAD complete, that complexity class, end-of-line problem, is discovered by this great scientist, Professor Mitchell. Okay? And also there are many other famous figures here. I'm not going to explain who they are, but I guess you could know them by using AI recognition. Okay? So I do not know every one of them, but I know some of them. Okay, well, so this area, right, we call it computational game theory or algorithmic game theory. So basically using the computer science perspective to address game theory challenges, right? And then among them, right, it's computing and evaluating equilibrium concepts. Okay. Now, of course, people also study the representation of games or application of games. Now, sometimes, all right, just like when you see some problems in VR, right? What you will do is try to design some approximation algorithm, right? Okay, and then here, again, common question. What if you find out that the computational question is hard? And then probably you can study games with special structure. Alright, maybe special structure allows polynomial time computation. And also, you can look at the brute force algorithm to find equilibria. Even brute force we know there are some smart enumeration, remember, in the very first lecture. And then we probably could also design faster enumeration algorithms. And then you can look at efficient algorithms for heuristics to compute an approximate equilibrium. Alright? So, now, bonus question. What do you think is approximate equilibrium? You know natural equilibrium, right? I change to another strategy, I will not gain more, right? And then what is approximate Nash equilibrium? It seems a bit untraditional, right? Because earlier when we talked about approximation algorithm, we have optimal solution, right? There's a cost. And then approximate means, oh, my solution, the cost is larger but not too large, right? Within 2 times or 3 times. But natural equilibrium seems a bit tricky because it does not have a cost. Unless you use the POA or POS, but if we do not look at those, it seems just to be a stable status, right? How to do approximation.
Exists.
If yes, can I find it? Okay, find one or find all, whatever, right? And then I want to show, does there exist an equilibrium in which certain other criteria is maximized? For example, social welfare. How benefit? What benefit the global society gets, right? Or payoff, right? Whether certain player can get at least the expected payoff of B, or whether you have a unique equilibrium, right? Okay, so all these questions are possible. Now, for modeling a general game, usually you first will do the mathematical formulation. You try to define the utility function of your game, right? And then this utility function will depend on some parameters that is affected by agents' actions. And then you try to find a related equilibrium concept such that you can compute that equilibrium for your game. Alright? Or you show up computing this is hard, right? In general. So there's a second step. The third step, you may run some experiments, simulations, to show how good your solution is, right? Or how often or how certain your equilibrium will be computed by the algorithm. Alright? So this is a general three-step approach to deal with the general problem. Now, actually, in reality, there are many interesting games, and among them, a broad category of games is on security games. So this is so I've only heard about security games maybe less than 10 years ago, but the professor who initiated this security game is very, very famous. Okay, he's now a professor in Harvard. So basically what he did includes the following. For example, in airport or in the Coast Guard, okay, so there are sometimes some bad people, they want to destroy some facilities, right? And then you also have the security patrol. You can allocate resources to patrol different venues to catch those bad people. Okay, so this is a game between good people and bad people, right? So how to distribute resources to different posts to maximize the probability to catch the bad person, or maximize the probability that you can protect that facility, right? So that's a very important issue. So this is about the physical security, right? And then there are also green security, which means that you have wild animals, and then there are sometimes illegal hunters trying to catch those wild animals. And then you have manpower, which can deploy to different venues, right? Different forests, etc. And at a certain time, such that those bad hunters will be frightened to go to do bad things, right? Okay, so anyway, it's a security game in the green world, right? And there are also some other games like a cyber security game or other kind of security games. Okay, so now, of course, there are many more other games, but I think that here I'm not going to elaborate more. I just mentioned one thing called influence maximization game, okay? Now we remove game first and say just about influence maximization. What is that? So imagine you have a company and this company wants to sell its product. For example, they want to sell iPhone. And then one strategy is the company, the Apple, they give 5 free iPhones to 5 people in the social network. And then these 5 people will be their ambassador, they promote, oh, this app is very good, etc., etc. And then the people around it will be affected, let's say some of them will buy, right? And then the effect will propagate to the whole network, right? And then the goal is what? The goal is to choose the most influential 5 people, or the best 5 people, which can bring them the most benefits. Okay? So this is influence maximization. Okay. Now, so here, basically, as we already mentioned, right? So the three-step study, model, right? Formulate the game, compute equilibrium, so analyze the equilibrium, and finally, experimental results to validate something, right? Okay. Well, so this is some slides I referenced for the topic today, and I think that I will give the remaining time to my TA to share with us
the Bayesian game.
is a fixed. And the T2, the I person, has let's use the A and E character, indicating that so the A type means I person wants her friend to come. So the I person has two different types. And the B means and then the third ingredient is their strategy set. The set of strategies. So as the key person's strategy set is very clear, right? Either choose to go hiking or choose reading books. So either H or R. Well, for the second person, for the player two, the I person, here the strategy will be a function of her type, because she has two types, and under each type, she can have two different choices. So we use this So for example, the HH means if player 2, the I person is the type A, which means she wants her friend company, then she will choose H strategy, or the hiking strategy. And if she is the type B, then she also choose H strategy. And HR means if she is type A, then she will choose H. If she is type B, she will choose R. So the strategy of I person will have this four instead of the normal game, right? In the normal game, S2 will also be like HR. But so note that she has different types, the strategy will be a function of her type. And the beliefs. So although the E person do not know I person's private type, this information, but she do have some beliefs about this private information. So the beliefs. So these beliefs are represented as a probability. So the P1, the player 1's so given the player 1's type, she thinks player 2's type is A, wants her company, this probability she said here is 3 over 4. And P2. Given the her type is B, the player 2's type is B, probability is 1 over 4. And the P2, so since player 1 only has one fixed type, so this will be equal to this, equals to 1. So this is a simplified scenario. So in other scenario, the E person, the first player, may also have several types. So here I just use a fixed type to note that she has no type actually. Okay, this is several ingredients of the relation game. So players and types and the strategies. So note that it has special strategy set and the beliefs about this type of information. So about this game, let's find the Bayesian-Nash equilibrium. So in the lecture, we see the Bayesian game-Nash equilibrium's definition is in the Bayesian game, Bayesian-Nash equilibrium for risk-neutral player is defined compare these two numbers. So we can see if player 2 chooses H, she will get 2 utility. If player 2 chooses R, then she will get 0 utility. So the impact player 2 will choose. Or not that many values. So if I use, that's the response for the abbreviation, PR, for the abbreviation of a best response. So best response of player 2, when she is facing H of player 1's strategy, then it is equal to this type A, type B. So it should be H, right? Well, if player 1 chooses H, player 2 is type B. Then you compare these two numbers, and you can see player 2 choose R will give her more utility, so it should be R. So you can see HH is not the best response for player 1's H, right? HR should be the best response. So until here, we can conclude that this is not a Bayesian equilibrium. So let's then verify that HHR, whether this one is the best, is the Bayesian equilibrium. So we already verified that if player 1 chooses H, then HR is the best response, right? So we are 2H, 2 equals HR. So the next that we want to verify is BR1. So the player 1's best response for HR, whether this is equal to H or not. If it is equal to H, then this is a Bayesian-Nash equilibrium, right? So let's compare H and R's expected gains. So let's see the layer 1's utility for HR is equal to, so since the player 2 has 3 over 4 probability in type A, so let's use this times HH. So we will use in the first matrix find HH. So if player 1 chooses H, player 2 also chooses H, then the utility is 4. So she has, the player 1 has 3 over 4 probability to gain utility 4 plus 1 over 4 times HR. So we need to focus on this number. Right? Because so she has a 1 over 4 probability in this pair of matrix get utility 0. So if the player 1 chooses H, she will get utility 3. joint probability distribution. So you need to use a Bayes rule to calculate this conditional probability, like the this thing in the PowerPoint.
Thank you. So I will post the notes into the Canvas so you can have access to them. And by the way, I also put the in-class in-class exercise one, part one, I mean, on the Canvas. So basically, after the next lecture, the third question will be there, and then all three questions for first part in some in-class exercises are there. And then please submit before October 21st. Okay? So that's my in-class. Okay, now see you 2 days later.